Blog Talk Radio.
Rock him a thing. Rock him a thing.
Trying to scratch it back there, man.
Rock him a thing.
Trying to scratch it back there.
Rock him a thing.
Okay, did you have your fun back there now? Can I get on this microphone? People are waiting for what I got to say. Well, I hope they are. People, what's going on this side, Dabinga, Sadiq Akesa Dabinga? It's been a long time, I know. The last couple of Saturdays, I know you've heard some pre-recorded shows from before, being interviewed on other stations, and sadly, the topics that we were conversing about is relevant to today, which is really affecting my heart. But, you know, I like to do my live shows. Tonight's show will be about the memorial that I did about 2 years ago in L.A. Though people on the East Coast, August 1st, 2009, Manhattan, Church of the Covenant on the East Side, I'll be doing the 6th annual Congolese Memorial. This year will be in New York. Guys, come out. It's going to serve as a fundraiser to complete, not just to build, but to complete the construction of a hospital in Congo, in the Kasai region. Leja Bulela is spearheading the initiative. You can check him out at www.lejabulela.org. That's LEJABULELA.org. So, yes, for those cats that are listening to me on the East Coast, or be traveling on the East Coast around that time, I will be live and direct in New York, in Manhattan, at the Church of the Covenant, doing the 6th annual Congolese Memorial. So I really want you guys to come out, bring what you got, bring your used cell phones. You got that also, but that's something I'm looking forward to on one hand and something I'm not looking forward to on the other hand, because I'm left emotionally drained from these memorials. Because it's really serious business what's happening in my country of Congo. People, what's going on out there? Check it out. You wanted to reach in. The lines are kind of jammed right now because we have so many people in the chat line. But you can try to get through at 646-595-2892. 646-595-2892. We're going to go live on location here. So hold on for one moment. I always wanted to do a live broadcast. So literally we're on the street. You know, coming with the people, and people are looking at me kind of odd, like, what is that guy doing? They think I'm probably a surveyor. Today's topic is going to be Black Hollywood and the global stage. What does that mean? You know, what that means is there's a lot of situations going on. Well, let's come back. Let's define Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood is supposed to be the actors of color, the black people, in the show business. You know, the Wayans, the Eddie Murphys, the Arsenios, the who else we got out there? The Denzels, the Lawrence Fishburns, the Sam Jacksons and those guys, Morgan Freeman, Terrence Howard, what's the guy's name? Cuba Gooding and those cats. That's supposed to be what Black Hollywood is. Ironically, you never really hear of a Latino Hollywood or an Asian Hollywood or an African Hollywood or a Chinese Hollywood or a woman's Hollywood. But for some reason, every time we get, you know, there's more than one of us in someone's groove, we're black something. So the question today is, this came from a conversation I had with somebody else's. On the global arena, when it comes to Darfur, when it comes to the extermination in Eastern Congo, when it comes to situations that may even take place in Haiti or what have you. Where is Black Hollywood? Where are they? It's really irritating to me. You probably have seen some of my posts on my Facebook. If you check me out, facebook.com/Saeed Dabinga. I posted a few videos and I've posted a few comments how I'm really disappointed with Black Hollywood. Yes, people, we are live at location. I'm literally on 7th and Broadway in Los Angeles. That's why you hear a bus. You might even hear something say, 142. Stop. So relax. We are literally live and direct. So come to me on the chat line here if you have a question. But where is Black Hollywood? Where are they? You know, I was the keynote speaker at UC Irvine several days ago where they were talking about the conflicts in Africa. And they had some young ladies from the Delta region of Nigeria. I believe they're the Ogoni ethnic group. And they were talking about how the pipelines are basically destroying the ecosystem down there. You have an eco holocaust going on there in the Delta region of Nigeria. I'm sure you've seen the reports on Yahoo.com or what have you, where they talk about, you know, the militants kidnapping hostages. But they never really talk about what the militants are doing down there. So we have that situation. We have the situation in Congo. And I spoke to the co-organizer of the event, a good guy named Oren. Him and his friend Ben put it together. And I expressed to him, I said, you know, the reason why, and this is just my flow, whether it's right or wrong, you may think, this is just my flow, this is just my opinion. Because if you look at the situation, as an example, with President Obama nominating the Latina for the Supreme Court seat, I remember an article came up about 2 days ago where they talked about how this supposed rift between the Latinos and the African Americans. And it was said that the African Americans feel that the Latinos, and this isn't all African American, this is just the article, and I wish they had specified some, not all, but I feel the African American community feels that the Latino community got a free ride off the civil rights movement. And when I hear some of the words being said out there, I can understand why they're saying that or thinking that. But conversely, it feels the Latinos feel that the African American community, and I wish again they would say some of the Latinos, but feel that the African American community isn't taking a much more interest in the immigration situation, you know, it's illegal immigration and what have you. And I brought that up when I was riding with the guy who's Oren, who's a co-producer of the group at UC Irvine Conflict in Africa, Down for the Cause. I said, this is where the problem comes from. And I said, this is my flow. Because I'm an immigrant. I'm from Congo. I was born in Kinshasa. I know you hear me, like, you know, some people are like, this guy got to be from Compton or Brooklyn or Boston. Yeah, I moved here from Boston. Boston's like our adopted hometown. But I'm from Kinshasa. You know, from some people kind of stunned right now. But, yes, I am. Here's my passport if you want to see it. But what I said to him was, you know, unlike the Latino community in the United States, what have you, the African-American community really has no connection to the continent of Africa. And I've said this on a few shows before, but it's true. Yes, a lot of our, you know, Isaiah Washington found out that his roots came from Sierra Leone and shown the love and the admiration and the happiness he found that he had in his finding out his roots. He went and got dual nationality with Sierra Leone. I believe Chris Rock found out where his people came from, the roots, the region. Where his people came from, and it was surprising. I heard that he had said, had he known that, he would not have decided to be a comedian, feeling that before he discovered his roots, he felt that was the only two ways out to the environment he was growing up in. Well, beyond that, most of our people, too many of our people, we don't have a connection. I mean, we talk about our brothers and sisters, all right? So I'm not trying to say I'm separating myself from the brothers and sisters here. But a lot do not have a connection to the continent. Their connection to the continent is either the videos they see of us starving with our little pot bellies, militias going through the bush, raping women, kidnapping children, child soldiers, blood diamonds, Hotel Rwanda, sometimes in April, out of Kenya, straight to Kenya, out of Africa, you know, Tutsi. That's Africa. And then when they do go to the continent, they either go to South Africa, who's a very metropolitan city, or they'll go to Ghana because they're under the thinking that Ghana is the first African country to achieve their independence. No, people, they are not. And how we separate ourselves as Africans, we say, well, we may not be the first to, you know, get our independence on the continent, but we're the first in sub-Saharan Africa. like we're different from North Africa. But let's come back a bit. So for us, there's really no connection between the continent and the African Americans here. So for me, when I talk to the Latinos, there's a connection between the Latinas, the Latinos, not the Latinas, the other females in the Latino community, but the Latino community, and whether it be Mexico, whether it be Central America, whether it be South America, there's still that family connection. They're working here, sending money back. I'm not saying the folks who are coming across the border or the plane, whatever, on the shadiness. What I'm saying is that there's that connection, whether folks want to acknowledge it or not, between the Latinos in the United States and and their home country. Again, whether it be Mexico, Central America, you know, El Salvador, Guatemala, Peru, Bolivia, Argentina, what have you. Brazil is a Portuguese-speaking country. They're Lusophones, so we'll take them out of the mix. So when folks are working here, a lot of times they're saying they're sending money back. But our African-American brothers are here. Exactly who are they sending money to on the continent? There's no connection. Their foundation is here. Whether some people may agree with that or not, but that's the roots. Their foundation is here. So when you have an extermination taking place in eastern Congo, people, we're at 8 million dead. You can talk about the rapes. You can talk about this or that. We're at 8 million dead since 1998 because of the situation of Rwanda and Uganda. But it seems like that battle is being fought by itself. Even when it came to Darfur, a lot of people don't know Al Sharpton was in Darfur several years back when the whole conflict started. He didn't say anything about a genocide taking place there, even Colin Powell. None of them said anything about a genocide taking place there. Then all of a sudden, when some other activists, some Anglos, and some other people came on board and said, well, you know there is a genocide going on, then all of a sudden you see Don Cheadle coming out of the cut talking about a genocide. You know what I mean? But where's everybody else? Really think about that. You saw ER did an episode on the John Joe Weed, one of the worst episodes I've ever seen in the history of television. Law and Order did something called, I believe it was called Hell. Excuse my language, doesn't offend me. It's on a special, it's Law and Order SVU, Special Victims Unit, I think it is. Yeah, they did something about child soldiers. But again, where is the black people? Now I'm talking about Kanye West did Diamonds Are Forever. Diamonds are forever, right? And when he found out what was going on in the cut of the Sierra Leone and Liberia, he did a different version that talked about Diamonds Are Forever, and he was talking about what was going on in Sierra Leone, and he was saying the line, are these conflict diamonds, don't lie to me, Jacob. Jacob being the dealer in New York to all the rappers. That's the movement I'm talking about. There was a short video, I believe, a documentary. I think it was a documentary, full length, how I think Q-Tip and some of the other brothers in the game of hip-hop music went to the continent to find out what was going on, you know, about what was happening there in reference to blood diamonds, things like that. On that scale, they didn't get that hardly got any press. There was a guy, Bubba Sparks. Or was it Bubba Franks? Yeah, I think Bubba Sparks. White guy from the South. I remember vividly watching something, I think, on CNN. He was talking about blood diamonds. Now, he's a white guy from I think, Louis, Mississippi. He was talking about blood diamonds. And I appreciated that fact. You know, he said, I don't know all what's going on, but this is what I do know, and this is what we can do. But now, beyond that, Jay-Z, Beyonce, a lot of these superstar rappers have been to the continent, said nothing. They go up perform. It's like they go up perform. You know, 50 went, 50 Cent went over there. I don't know if Sean Combs went there. But a lot of these rappers have performed on the continent, Nigeria, Ghana, whatever. And I understand, you know, their role may be just to be entertained performers. But I guess, you know, I know Jay-Z was supposed to go and talk about the clean water situation initiative. Ironically, Jay-Z said when he spoke about it, the Nigerian youth had no idea what the initiative was. And this was coming from the UN. So I'm not going to be hammering Jay-Z. I don't want people to think I'm hammering him or anything like that. But when it comes back to that's the music side. But where is Black Hollywood? Where's the Halle Berrys? Where's the Denzel Washingtons? Where's the Samuel Jacksons? Where's the Cuba Goodings? Where are these people? What's going on? Why are they not talking about? And yes, I'll go right to my country. Why are they not saying anything about what's going on? Do they not care? Do they not know? Do they not know not to care? Do they not care not to know? Or they just feel like that problem is just too complex? what's going on, people? What is going on with all this? I don't know. So let's play a little, let's do a little musical little interlude here. Let's see. We're going to put up here for a little while. Now we are free. We are free to talk, speak our minds. You know what? Hold on. Let's go a little cut here. We were talking about Kanye. So, Kanye, are you going to talk to us right now? Hopefully these will work. We've been having technical difficulties, so let's see if this flows. Diamonds are forever. So is the console.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate to tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Throw your diamonds in the sky if you feel the vibe.
Diamonds are forever.
The rock is still alive every time I rhyme. Forever, ever, 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 ever. Still, people lose hands, legs, arms for real. Little was known of Sierra Leone and how it connects to the diamonds we own. When I think of diamonds in a song, I ain't talking about the ones that be glown. I'm talking about Rockefeller, my home, my chain. These in conflict diamonds. Is they Jacob? Don't lie to me, man. See, a part of me saying, keep shining. How? When I know we're the blood diamonds. So it's thousands of miles away. Sierra Leone connect to what we go through today. Over here it's the drug trade. We die from drugs. Over there they die from what we buy from drugs. The diamonds, the chains, the braces, the charms is. I thought my Jesus piece was so harmless till I seen a picture of a shorty armless. And here's the conflict. It's in a black person's soul to rock that gold. Spend your whole life trying to get that ice. On a polo rugby, you look so nice. How could something so wrong make me feel so right? Right? Before I beat myself up like Ike, you can still throw your Rockefeller diamond tonight. Because
diamonds are forever.
Throw your diamonds in the sky if you feel the vibe.
Like Hollywood, where you at?
The rock is still alive every time I rhyme. My chain back. That'll be the same day I get the game back. You know the next questions are, yo, where Dame at? This track the Indian dance to bring our rain back. What's up with you and Jay, man? Are y'all okay, man?
Yep, I got it from here, yay, damn. The chain remains, the gang is intact. The name is mine, I'll take blame for that. The pressure's on, but guess who ain't gonna crack? Pardon me, I had to laugh at that. How could you falter when you're the rock with your balls? I had to get off the boat so I could walk on water. This ain't no tall order, this is nothing to me. Difficult takes a day, impossible takes a week. I just missed in my sleep. I so cute.
One song, people. Diamonds Are Forever, Kanye West. He was talking about what? Sierra Leone. Talking about black folks love to have the gold, but then he saw where the gold came from and saw that the people was being exploited to get that gold. And he says, Jacob, don't lie to me. I have these blood diamonds. So, again, Black Hollywood, where are you? What are you doing? You know, when the situation with Chris Brown and Rihanna went down, good God, every blog, BET, even CNN was black folk. People had something to say about it. Black Hollywood was just talking left and right. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And no one said nothing. It was really amazing. But here we are. And I think we have a caller here. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can get this thing to work here properly. Well, it's not working. I lost your caller. I know you tried to came in. My apologies. If you come back, I'm with you again because I just want to hear your opinions. And I see you guys in the chat line. So give me your questions. What do you want to know? What do you think? Why do you think Black Hollywood's quiet when it comes to situations of advocacy for the African continent? I'm not talking about like Madonna going to get the little child from the village, sticking him in a little Gucci bag and going back to the UK. I'm talking about where's the Denzels and those guys? Do you think maybe we expect too much from Black Hollywood? Do you think maybe I'm expecting too much from people that who grew up not even appreciating their roots and their culture? Because you know there was a time, people, that you call somebody an African, oh my, in the community, it was time to fight. what you mean? I'm not no African. I'm from Georgia. But what do you think? Why do you think Black Hollywood is not? It's kind of like following everybody else, but not setting the pace. Wait a minute. Hey, Mickey, 034, I see you there. I don't know why we can't get you on the hotline here, but I see your chat, brother. Sister, I don't know which one it is. Mickey, 034, he says because they don't care. Yes, he was the person that called in. Hey, man, my sister, my brother, I really appreciate you coming in. Stay with me because I want to see your point. He goes, yes, please, yes. We expect too much from them. I agree with you, Mickey. I agree with you. I remember a friend of mine said some time ago, Moana Bukenge, said to me when I was on my usual, you could say, soapbox, but I was in one of those moods. Okay, brother, I see what's going on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay with me, brother, stay with me. I really appreciate you taking that because the fact that they just what Mickey's doing right now is all we're asking other people to do. But I remember my friend said to me some time ago that she feels I expect too much from Black Hollywood. And it really had me thinking because it was never really said that to me. That might not sound right. Okay, wait, let's see what he's saying here. Mickey 034 says, we must understand these people aren't obligated towards anyone. They don't have to help. And he's right. That's actually a good point. They don't have to help. Now, how do you guys feel about that? Because I know some people said they don't have to help. That's a good point. Mickey doesn't have to be listening now. I don't have to be doing this. I'm sure Mickey has something deep to his heart. I'm sure you know what was deep to my heart. I'm sure we all have stuff deep to my heart. Are we making the mistake of how our Ghanaian brothers and sisters are looking at President Obama coming to the continent? Wait, hold on. Mickey's coming through. Mickey 034 saying, to my opinion, they should help, but really, the reality says it's choice. And that's true. They're choosing not to. Or maybe, you know what, maybe they are choosing to help the continent. And because it's in a way that's humanitarian, the news isn't picking it up. It's as, we'll say, example, wait, my man Mickey's come back again. He goes, I agree with you, sir, that they should help because they have the influence over the common folks. And they do. Trust me, when you see Blood Diamonds, and there's a scene in there with a truck coming through the village, and they're playing Tupac, and so not, I can't remember the name of the cut is, there's influence. Like I said, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all these cats, they went to the concert a little while ago, did concerts over there, and filling up stadiums. Beyonce did her songs, stuff like that. And the thing with Jay-Z actually went as an ambassador with the UN to do clean water. Now, there's a hip-hop community. But he said he was surprised that a lot of the youth who he was performing for had no idea there was an initiative for clean water from the UN. So maybe there's just ignorance on both sides. Let me see what Mickey's coming back to me. He says, well, not common folks, but children. So let me bring it back for folks who just came in so you can see the flow that Mickey's rocking right now. Because, again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just putting the question out there, and I want to hear people's opinions. So Mickey 034 or 034, he says, I agree with you, sir, that they should help because they have influence over common folks. Well, not common folks, but children. If you can control the children, you can literally control the future of this planet or our community or nation. Now, that right there struck a chord because I have been saying, particularly when I spoke at UC Irvine a couple of days ago and I spoke to the coordinator, I said, it's not about talking to the politicians. I mean, you can talk to the politicians all you want. It's the people that put the politicians in office. And I've told people when I've spoken, and I've always said, when it comes to the – if you get the youth, you get the community. That's just my feeling. And to see Mickey 034 articulating the same flow, I agree with him. The thing about Malcolm, we'll stay on both sides here, because we're not letting Black Hollywood off the hook, though. And I want to come back to them, but to use this example, Malcolm was speaking to the people. He may have made his comments about the government, which he has done, but he went down to the corner churches back in Harlem and Boston, was talking to the people. Martin, when he did the Great March, he didn't do the Great March inside the White House. He spoke to the people about what he saw was his vision. Lumumba did the same thing. You're more than welcome, Mickey 034. Thank you, sir. That's what you're saying. I'm saying thank you back to you, and you're more than welcome. I appreciate your time, and let your friends know this is their conversation. We want to know what you feel. Because, you know, you may say something, Mickey 034, that I may repeat here that may turn somewhere else. And next you know, they have a movement going on. You never know. Tupac. What did he say? I might not be able to be president. I might not be a politician, but I know one of my words mates is going to touch the, is going to spark the thought of the brain of the child that's going to rule this world. Ah, here he comes. Well, Malcolm, Mickey, I think Mickey, I'm going to have to figure out a way to fly him in so we can get him on the station. He's flowing. He goes, well, Malcolm and Martin was actually passionate on human rights. Human rights. So we're, again, Black Hollywood. What are you passionate about? We understand Rihanna had an issue with Chris Brown. Yes, you're passionate about that. We understand when Girlfriends got canceled. Yes, the protest came out and people, I was stunned. But what is Black Hollywood passionate about? Let's see what Mickey's saying here. Today's celebs, such as Oprah, Denzel, and the rest of them, do it for image. Very interesting. Mickey, rock me an example. He goes, well, I can't say that's their motive because I don't know any of them.
Hello?
And that's true. Let me share something. He goes, but mostly, most likely, it's the case. Let me bring an example of Denzel, since I brought that name up earlier, and Mickey 034 brought that name up also. Because there's about 50 people standing around me right now on this street corner saying, what is this guy talking? A couple years ago, Denzel Washington wanted to do a movie in Mozambique. Yes, this is Denzel, two-time Academy Award winner. Should have had four, but we'll overlook how he got robbed on Hurricane and Malcolm X. He wanted to do a movie in Mozambique. It was going to be about some kids that wanted to go to school, but they didn't have enough money to go to school. So as a solution, they decided that they would rob banks. If you can see the reaction of my friend who just walked up to me when he heard me say that stuff, her mouth hit the floor. Yes, let me repeat that. Denzel Washington wanted to produce a movie in Mozambique. I believe it was Mozambique, where these kids wanted to go to music school. They didn't have enough money to go to music school, so they decided to rob banks to get the money. I'm not lying. I'm lying. And I still remember calling all my friends. I think I saw it on allafrica.com. I think it was there. Now, I'm going to come to you in a second, my friend 034. Now, I know some of the presidents and dictators may loot the country. They may loot the central bank and stuff like that. But you don't really hear stories. I know there's been some bank robberies in South Africa. But you don't really hear stories like of some Africans in Angola going to Luanda, robbing the bank. This is the story that Denzel Washington wanted to do. I was floored. Let's see what Mickey 034 is rocking here. He says, yeah, I agree, sir. They had a wide protest of against such petty issues like the Obama image and the New York Times. But yet, when these crooked politicians rob the people blind, then it's no problem. Oh, well, that's actually a good point. So we have to bring that into the conversation. When I believe he's talking about when they're dipping this the stimulus package, 034, the image of the monkey being shot down on the ground, or is this when they had Michelle and President Obama on the cover looking, and Michelle was looking like a Taliban? That's how they made it look. Black Hollywood, a couple of my friends have radio stations, a couple of my friends have talk shows, a couple of my friends have blogs and stuff like that. And it's very disheartening to look at Black Hollywood. And I'm not saying all of Black Hollywood. I'm just saying the ones we see the most of. Now, people are going to say, Oprah built her school in South Africa. Okay, we'll put it to the side. I understand now teaching, because I teach at a Tara school also, why she did that. But at the same time, people, what's going on? What is happening? We have 8 million being slaughtered in eastern Congo. Our Jewish brothers and sisters are still looking for the Nazis from World War II that committed the Holocaust. But our people here, Halley and all those folks, they're quiet. Let's see what man 034 is. Because my associate producer gave me the emails, but I'm flowing it. I like to flow personally myself. He goes, okay, the stimulus package and both images. Okay, now I know we're on the same page here. So people, man, where are all these people coming from? Hey, how you doing? Como está? All right. Oh, French. Como se va, monsieur? Mademoiselle? All right. Let's come back. Let's start with the stimulus package. The ape was gunned down in the middle of the street, and two cops were talking about they talked about the stimulus package, which ironically just got passed at me the day earlier. And I actually know the guy who did the artwork, and he was talking about the ape, the little monkey that killed people, that killed some guy or tore up their face or something like that. But the outcry from Al Sharpton and all those guys over that image was immense. It was immense. They were talking about this guy should resign. He should step down. He should just basically be gotten rid of. Oh, my God. Then when the cover came with Michelle, I believe she was giving the fist pump to her husband, Barack. they had it looking like, you know, the black Taliban. I mean, literally. The outcry from the black community, oh, my God. It was out there. But yet, when that brother got shot in the back in Oakland, where was the outcry? There was riots in Oakland, not really hardcore riots. Where was the outcry? Where was Black Hollywood? Sometimes it seems like, I understand we have the racial aspect of the images that are being shown of our people. And a lot of times there'll be a knee-jerk reaction. But people, if I talk to you and say, and you will say, I don't know, we'll say you're one of those, how you say, those A-list black stars, whatever. And I ask you, why is it when Paul Kagame comes to Hollywood, and this is a true story, why is it when Paul Kagame comes to Hollywood, the people from like Operation Hope, the founder, and all you guys rush to embrace this guy? Do you not know he basically murdered 40,000 Hutus in Rwanda when he was coming to power, when he invaded from Uganda? He's indicted for killing his troops, killing the eight Spanish nuns. He led two invasions into Congo, and along with Uganda, murdered 8 million people who are still dying today. Looted the country. But when he comes to Hollywood, this is Paul Kagame. I'm not lying. I'll put some pictures up, and I think I have on my blog here on the station. He comes to Hollywood, he's treating like some conquering, he's like some returning hero. Now, could you imagine me? Can you imagine me? We got a lot of emails coming in. But I see you, Mickey034. I'm going to come to you. Our producer's getting your stuff together. I'm going to come to you. You know, I like to do it live with you, directly, hands-on. Can you imagine me in 1941 taking a picture with Himmler? Could you imagine? The reaction from the Jewish brothers and sisters, that would haunt me. They would hold that against me even now, 50-something years later. My brother here, Mickey, 034, says, he says, that's too political for Black Hollywood, the case where they got shot in Oakland. What's his name? Who, the young brother up in Oakland? Hey, producer, can you find out the young brother who got shot in Oakland? Is that who you're talking about, Mickey? Or are you talking about something I just brought up and I didn't mention the name by any chance? Let me know what's going on. So, people, I got to move this desk because there's way too many people standing around me. Okay, excuse me. You got to push back a little bit. Please push back a little bit. Let's come back to Black Hollywood now. I don't know. It's like when I see Kobe and those guys. The Lakers we'll talk about for another example. We'll say, you know, because out here in sports is kind of, L.A. Lakers is kind of part of Black Hollywood. Ilian Gonzalez was that case in Miami years ago. Which dictator, brother? All right. Which dictator? Which country are you talking about, my friend? I know I brought up somebody. Looting somewhere. So this remind me who it was, and I'm sure I'll give you the name, my man. There was the case of Ilian Gonzalez years ago. Y'all know that. The little Cuban kid came in a boat, washed, and I guess the dolphins pushed him into the tide, and he landed on the coast of Miami, and they wanted to, like, keep him here, and the father wanted him back. There was a Laker player. I cannot remember his name. I don't think it was not Fisher. His wife was Cuban, and she was so struck by it, you know, that it's so against him, the child going back. She was, like, kind of wanted to lead some kind of protest. Her husband, who was a starting player for the Lakers, said he was going to miss a game to show solidarity with his wife and the Cuban people over Ilian Gonzalez. You can imagine my reaction. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy was willing to force, and he's a brother on the Lakers. Can't remember his name. Oh, went to Hollywood. I'm talking about Mickey034. Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda. When it comes to Hollywood, he's always received by these stars. They come out, they meet him, they take pictures with him, you know, Chris Tucker, all those guys, they meet him, it's true. That's the guy. And I might have some pictures up on my blog, on my Blog Talk Radio here. But if you send me an email offline, I believe it should be up there, saeed@guyundergroup.com, I'll send you the pictures. Now, let me come back to the player, then we'll come back to the Kagame situation. The player an African American on the Lakers was going to he was willing to forfeit a game and a game check to show solidarity with his wife, who was Cuban, over the Ilian Gonzalez case. I'm like, so what about us? You know, why don't you forfeit a game check to protest the extermination in Eastern Congo by Rwanda and Uganda? What about us? Oh, my God. You should see the people around me. What's going on here? What's going on here? Or the one about Parker? Oh, no. Paul Kagame, P-A-U-L. Kagame, K-A-G-A-M, as in Mary E. He's the current president of Rwanda. He's the guy that everybody thinks stopped the genocide. But he didn't, actually. There's a long story behind that one. So, people, where is the solidarity? Where is the solidarity with us? He was going to protest. Now, we come back to Black Hollywood. I go to a lot of screenings. I go to a lot of panels. I go to a lot of these events they have. And for the most part, I get kind of nauseous after 20, 25 minutes because you see all these people in a room who don't have really a lot of power. They have a lot of fans, stuff like that. I mean, it's not like Tyler Perry's going to come out anytime, say, soon to have, you know, we got to stop the killing of our brothers and sisters on the East Coast. Because I've always said to people, if you want to say African-American, you have to start showing some love and want to know the knowledge about the African side of that hyphen. You respect the culture of the Americans, and you want to learn the culture. Even some kids don't understand that. But if you want to say African-American, say you come from the roots, it's not just a name and a place. It's a place where your people came from. Back in the day, when the Angolans was fighting for their liberation with our help, because we were giving them rare bases, they were fighting against the Portuguese, Castro, he sent the Cuban army to help the Angolans. Do you know why? It's actually on his documentary, I believe. It's, they even said this. The Cuban army felt they remember that a lot of their descendants in Cuba came from the Angolan region. So for the Angolan army, going back to help the Angolans fighting for their liberation from the Portuguese, they felt that was their obligation. Think about that. Think about that. The Cuban army, and mind you, they were all over the continent. They went to fight to help the Angolans get the liberation because they remembered that most of their descendants came from that region. So they felt they had an obligation to go help fight. That's what I'm talking about. So where it comes to our people, I'm not talking about Black Hollywood and, you know, Lawrence Fishburne has to get the AK-47 and the 9mm and get on the 747 to fly to Congo and say, hey, we're here to get down. No, I'm not saying that. But does it hurt to say, hey, look, there's a slaughter going on caused by these two countries, Rwanda and Uganda. You guys have believed the hype that they stopped the genocide. These folks are committing an extermination in Eastern Congo so they can get resources and sell them to you guys, and they're selling resources they don't have. So when you look at your cell phone and it vibrates, that mineral that makes it vibrate and allows it to vibrate comes from my country. All right? It comes from my country. But for some reason, people aren't doing it. I don't know why. Oh, wait a minute. I think we have somebody here. Mickey034, is that you on the hotline?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How is everything with you?
Everything is how they say everything is everything. We have about 100 people standing around in a corner in L.A.
Oh, okay. I just want to ask you a quick question, right? This question is totally, totally irrelevant, and it holds no value, no weight. But I just want to know, is this your picture in the chat room?
I'm sorry?
Is this your picture you have in your chat room? Is that the picture of you?
Am I smiling in there?
Yeah.
In a blue suit, right? Yeah, that's me.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know. But my other thing is, Paul, what's his name again?
Kagame.
Paul Gami, right?
Yeah, Kagame, K-A-G-A-M-E.
Oh, yeah, Kwame.
No, Kagame.
Oh, okay. Paul Kagame, right?
What's up, bro?
You said he murdered how many people of Uganda? I mean, I'm not Uganda, sorry, of Rwanda?
40,000 Hutus. He murdered. His army killed on the way to taking power. And on top of that, his army, they talk about the Tutsis he saved. He's a Tutsi from Rwanda that grew up in Uganda. When he came back to Rwanda, most of the Tutsis were the descendants of those that fled the first time. He didn't like the Tutsis that were in Rwanda under the then president, Habyarimana. He basically hated them. So what he did is, as he was going towards Kigali, his army was herding the Tutsis in Rwanda towards the Interahamwe militia. He was basically sacrificing them. And if you talk to any Tutsi that survived that genocide, they'll tell you that. But you don't hear about that in the movie.
And you see a lot of these black A-listers embrace him, right?
Oh, yeah, they embrace him. Oh, they do.
Shame.
I mean, I have a picture. It was Christian Galt with Paul Kagame, and I believe it's Chris Tucker. Oh, yeah, I have a picture of them. Mandela loved the guy. You know, when Kagame came to L.A., Operation Hope founder, I think his name's Frank something. Can't remember, John something.
I'm gonna have to do some research on this guy though before I jump to any type of conclusions. But I do know that a lot of these African dictators, a lot of them are equivalent towards Hitler. Just Hitler gets more popularity than them because he murdered white Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And did you read an article that I forgot what nations it was over there in Africa, but they sold. They have literally sold the diamond and the mine workers towards large global corporations. You heard about? Did you read that article?
Oh, I don't need. I didn't read the article, but that place is taking place in Eastern Congo. Congo and Sierra Leone.
And the CEO of Xerox, which is a printing company, but that's a global corporation as well. He said because some of these people got sold to him too. He said why try to monopolize the earth's resources when you can. This is what he said now. Why try to monopolize the earth's resources when you can buy human souls? That's what he literally said.
Well, what you want to do is you want to find that article. You want to figure out a way to email it to me, and I'll talk about it in the next show.
Oh, okay, no problem.
The thing I always talk about is the exploitation of the people by the multinationals. I know the Enough Corporation right now, the Enough Project is talking about, you know, the cell phones and all those blood minerals, things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they haven't been talking up, you know, where were they after the first million, 2 million, 3 million were being killed? And at the same time, if you look at the whole situation when it comes to Black Hollywood and exploitation of the country, Enough Project is working mostly with non-African Americans in Hollywood. But Black Hollywood is not doing anything. Oh, yeah. I know the guys.
Black Hollywood doesn't care, and I think that's a reality everybody needs to wake up to. Stop trying to be like them, but actually try to be a person who is in a position of power and you can actually affect some type of change.
Exactly.
But people only realize as long as they got little black boys who want to grow up and all they want to be is basketball players, rappers, and celebrities, and little black girls who want to do the same, they basically just want to be singers, then basically these people are going to remain in power.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, this next generation, we'll see what happens because, you know, there are a lot of people. You know, at one point, the owner of the Denver Nuggets, the minority owner, was a black man from Boston. I met him. He's a real cool guy. But what a lot of people don't know is that the Cleveland Cavaliers, a Chinese group just bought part ownership of that team. So if you start seeing more games of the Cleveland Cavaliers in Beijing, there's a reason why. This happened like 2 days ago. A lot of people don't know about it. So, you know, hey, what can you do? So let's get back online here because I got a whole lot of calls for cars. I got to flow. But Mr. Mickey, 034, stay with me. Stay with me. And like I said,
find that
article, you email it to me. I'll talk about it on my next show.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, my friend. That's Mickey. Mickey, where you based at? Where you at?
I mean, what part of the U.S. am I calling from?
Where are you?
Texas.
All right. Texas. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was supposed to be, there's a conference taking place in Texas July 4th weekend. This organization, Leja Bulela, is having a conference there, and they're building a hospital in Africa. So go check out their website, www.lejabulela.org. And it's also on my blog also. Check them out.
Okay.
It's a great organization. They're spearheading the construction of a hospital there, and they're almost finished. So check it out. You could be the person they talk about saying, this guy from Texas came down and Look what he did for us. You know, we're going to name a wall after him. There it is. That's our connection, my man. That's our connection, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think that it don't matter what color that the individual is, but all these people who are these prime ministers, these dictators, these presidents, and even these CEOs of these international corporations, do you think that it don't matter what color they are, but they're just in it for the power?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Power is power. Power doesn't see color. Power sees power. Power sees opportunity. So it'll make a difference. You have the folks, the situation in, you know, Latin America with Pinochet. You have the same thing with Mobutu in Africa. You know, people are talking about North Korea now. They're starving, but they're launching nuclear rockets and stuff like that. I mean, they're testing nuclear weapons and rockets and stuff like that. Power sees opportunity. Power has nothing to do with color. So when people talk about, you know, dictators, they're all over the world. They're all over the world. I think people have to look at that. Power seizes opportunity. That's all it comes down to. So on that note, brother, we out of here, you know, but stay with us. And you never know, Mickey 034, you could be the guy 2 years from now who we see on CNN, you know, holding some massive rally in front of the White House, and President Obama comes down and says, hey, I want to talk to you for a second. That could be you. Don't forget me. All right, man, we're going back live, and stay with us, man. Hey, it was a pleasure talking to you, my friend. Thanks for your patience.
No problem.
All right. Talk to you later. You see, people, that's what I mean. One person can make a difference. One person can ask a question. I'm sure you guys out there listening, he may have asked a question that you wanted to ask, or he may have brought up something that you guys didn't know, and now you're going to go look for it. And like I said, it's that one person, a guy in Texas, wants to know what's going on, articulated his thoughts, flowed his opinion, flowed some knowledge, wants to get some knowledge, but then one of you guys out there could have heard something that he had said and say, let me go look into this. What's going on? Kinko's, what's going on? You know? So look, we got 12 minutes left remaining. Let me kick a little song here. I always like to say we are free, but let me rock something by my brother Ome Congo that he did with my younger sister Shaumba. All right, we call it the Fuji mix here. Hold on.
It's funny how money changes situations. Neo-colonials take over nations. Our liberation don't fit your equation. Try to take us back to the plantation. Someone play Africans like we don't. We the ones who started civilization. Everything you try to do will be undone. We know all the tricks from Addis to Cape Town. Ding dong, here come the World Bank song. Gotta pay debt and lose education. But if Africans strong, run for your guns. Take back your pride and your continent. We be number one since creation. Now groupies for westernization. Now you won't cry over cancellation. Red West for all types of reduction. Why you gotta let them act like champions? We will win some with unification. 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 Now, how come your talk turned cold? You gave up control of your diamonds and gold. So confused that you lost all control. Now it's all lost, what a sight to behold. Our wisdom was better than our silver and gold. War kids homeless and lost on the road. Every man wanna act like he's a god. Rape all the women and take the man's job. Then say you owe us like your name was not. Think they so perfect that we can't see their flaws. Say you're superior, but based on whose laws? No confidence, bring back consequence. Hypocrite.
Hey, Black Hollywood. How hard was that? That's my younger brother, OmeKongo.com. That's O, M as in Mary, E, K as in Kevin, O, N as in Nancy, G as in George, O.com. With our younger sister, Shaumba, I think he's done about 4 spoken word CDs, published 2 books, speaks all over the world, South Africa. I think he's going to England sometime soon, based out of D.C. I think the last time we really came together for Across the Continent was We Are the World, what, was like 1982, 1984? So, and that was musicians. So again, Black, I'm just disappointed. But you know, then again, I expect, as they, what's the scripture say? What's it saying? to those that much is given, much is expected. And I believe, you know, if you're making $20 million a film, $50 million a film, and if you can walk the red carpet, then you can talk on the red carpet about, hey, look, by the way, this is something going on. It don't have to be just in Congo. It could be anything. It could be like, you know, the issue of women on the continent. It could be the Caribbean. Look at Haiti. Haiti was the country that basically destroyed the French Empire. Haiti was the folks that held Bolivar, you know, on his initial initial fight for freedom against the Spaniards, the colonials, right? The Haitians were the ones, and President Obama talked about this when he was talking about the Haitian people. I think it was Haitian Day about several days ago. The Haitians were down there in New Orleans helping the Americans fight the British. It was against the French. But where is the movement of Black Hollywood or components of Black Hollywood to speaking more on the behalf of the Haitians? My friend Jimmy Jean-Louis, he plays, ironically, the Haitian in the TV series Heroes. And ironically, he's Haitian. He's doing a Hollywood for Haiti. I believe it's HollywoodForHaiti.org. Now, I don't know if it's a 4, F-O-U-R, or 4, but I believe it's HollywoodForHaiti.org. Check him out. Look what he's doing. That's what I'm talking about. He's finding a few that want to get involved and doing what he needs to do for his culture, for his country. We gave him an award. I do what I do for him. I have our show later on tonight, the rebroadcast of the interview that was done of me about 2-3 years ago when I was doing my third Congolese memorial. This year I'm doing it in New York. If I come down and do it in Texas, that might be a packed house. I might have to look coming down to Houston or Dallas sometime soon. But I do what I do. It's just me and, you know, the people around me that have the same passion. But at the same time, what's your passion? Black Harvey don't have to do it. Maybe we do expect too much. If you look at some of the films they do, maybe we see how they think. So maybe we have to go to that next generation who's coming up in the game and say, look, you want to be a star? Because I remember someone said Soulja Boy when he had his song come out, his big hit. Someone mentioned that I think it was Denzel approached him, or it might have been Samuel Jackson. I think it was Denzel approached him and said, look, you are talking to the youth. You're talking to this generation. You have a responsibility and obligation to say something profound to make a difference. They said, this is on a black station. They said Denzel rolled up to Soulja Boy like that. What does that tell you? So maybe his movement is for the brothers and sisters here. Is there anything wrong with that? Of course there's not. Oh, of course not. I'm not. But, you know, there was a time, though, back in the 60s where the civil rights movement in America fed off the African liberation movement. And the African liberation movement fed off the civil rights movement. If you go through the archives, you'll see a picture of Dr. King and Coretta in Ghana right after the Independence Day celebration or during the Independence Day celebration. King is just cooling on the porch with his wife, you know, setting up the camera. In Ghana, Ralph Bunche was there. Malcolm went to the continent because the movement was taking place. The movement was happening. We don't see that anymore. Folks go there to get the adulation at Burkina Faso at their film festival from Black Hollywood. Look who's here. Oh, my God. Let me get your autograph. They get the adulation. Oh, excuse me. The L.A. air is not that good today. They get the adulation. Hey, how are you doing? They get the adulation. Then they come back to L.A. and they don't do anything. You know? That hurts. Say something. You see how Spike was talking about Spike Lee was talking about how Eddie Murphy wasn't getting that love back in the day. Spike Lee had his opinion. Some people may have thought I was wrong, thought I was right, whatever, but he had something to say. But where's that movement? But then again, when you bring up Spike Lee, Black Hollywood right now doesn't have a Spike Lee. They don't have something that's trying to bring people in front of the camera. They don't have something that's bringing in people behind the camera. People will say Tyler's doing what he does. Yeah, but he's using the same people from Death and Wrong for like 15 years. Who's he breaking in? But I have to give him the love because he's telling his story. But, man, you think, yeek. You know what? I think it's going to come down to what we've been doing, what I've been doing, what Courage Kimber has been doing and stuff like that. We as Africans from the continent are just going to have to elevate our game, which we have been doing, and just take it upon ourselves. Knowing that full well, when that happens, other people are going to come around, want to be our friend and stuff like that, want to be down with us, stuff like that. And as I said to people, well, where were you when the first million got killed, second million got killed? So here's the challenge to Black Hollywood. This is what we're going to do right now. You're not going to, if you won't grab the picket sign, I know you're happy that the president got elected. Some of you, and some of you supported Hillary. I understand that. This is what we're going to do. I want you, if you're listening now, I want you to send me your used cell phones. I'm going to take those used cell phones to raise money for this hospital that we're building in Kasai. If you won't walk the red carpet and talk about the continent, how about we use those little used Blackberries and stuff like that you had? Send them to me so I can use them to raise money. I'm going to challenge all y'all out there right now with that. We have 4 minutes left. That's my challenge. Wherever you are right now, you're listening, write me. I'm going to give you a mailing address, and I'm going to give you guys, we'll say, till June 15th, 2 weeks. I want you to collect cell phones. I'm talking about the used ones. Don't get your friends and say, look, I need your cell phone. Take it and mail it to me. Get your used cell phones. Ask your friends for the used cell phones. Get their names. Stick it in a box. Mail it to me. I'll take the cell phones. Use it to raise some more money to finish construction of this hospital. I'm going to take your name. I'm going to put it on a brick in that hospital or on a plaque and say a special thanks. Like you go to the hospital, most places, the university, you see those signs that say, you know, thank you to the person for donating, the donor's wall. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to give you guys till June 15th. Email me your address. Email me and I'll give you my mailing address. All right? Saeed, S-A-I-D, like I said, at B as in boy, A, Y as in Yankee, I, N as in Nancy, D as in David, O, G as in group, R-O-U-P, as in Paul, .com. BayindoGroup.com. Saeed. My email address should be on my radio station here. Email me for my mailing address. I will send it to you. I want you guys and ladies to start collecting used cell phones from your friends. Now, I don't want the cell phones that came out when New Jack City came out, and they're about as big as my head, and the antenna is about 5 feet long. I don't want one of those. But call your friends, see your friends, hey, look, I'm collecting used cell phones, and what I want you to do is when I give you my mailing address, mail me those phones with their names, and I will personally put each person's name on a special thank you either on a brick in that hospital or on a plaque that's going to hang in that hospital. That's my challenge. So, Black Hollywood, there's your challenge. I'm not going to sit here and complain and moan about you guys not doing anything. You don't have to. Of course you don't have to. Here's something very easy. How difficult is it going to be to get a cell phone to mail to me and I can stick your name on the wall saying special thank you? There you go. You know what I mean? So, hey, let's leave it at that. We got 2 minutes left. I always like to say we are free to do what we want. We are free to do what we have to do. We are free to make a difference. But are you going to make a difference? Or are you just going to make more money? Are you going to make a difference, or are you just going to shrink and talk about nonsense? Are you going to make a difference, or are you just going to put your head in the sand like an ostrich? And I always wonder if ostriches really do put their head in the sand and just ignore what's going on around you. Because one day, what goes around comes around. And one day, you'll be talked about, where were you? People, we are out. We are free. And on that note, hey. Do what you got to do. Ome Congo, why don't you take us out of here? Welcome to the Congo with a slayer slay.
Yo, welcome to the Congo where the slayer slay and politics is robbing like every day for that diamonds and gold, timber and oil. Can't forget the codes in your find in your cell phone and PlayStation. Yo, it's a crazy situation, but since y'all don't get it, let me give an explanation. See, the Congo so poor because it's so rich. All the minerals and the whole world, they want it. That's why you don't see it on the daily news, cause you'd be outraged if you saw the abuse. Like Guantanamo, talk like Geronimo Pratt, son, in hopes that we can see some action. Last year it was only covered by Anderson Cooper, but I guess you had something else to do, bruh. The 5 nights it aired from 10 to midnight. Maybe if it was on Oprah, you'd have seen it ride. But old covered the Congo in 2005, had Lisa Ling live on the scene, no lie. Said the violence here is the world's big secret. It was shown in broad day, but I guess you didn't peep it. Yeah, yeah, this is for Patrice Lumumba, Dr. Dibinga Wasai, Dr. Galela Wakabongo. Anybody out there fighting for the Congo to be free, yo, let's go! Let's go.
Welcome to the Congo where the slayers slay and innocent folks dying like every day for all the jewelry we buy in the USA, son. And families, they don't stop grieving in the morning. Welcome to the Congo where the slayers slay and innocent folks dying like every day for all the jewelry we buy in the USA, son. And families, they don't stop grieving in the morning.
See, I've been talking about this since I was 8 years old, before Ye rolled diamonds from Sierra Leone. First, I took the academic route and wrote a paper. Yo was like, man, that stuff's too deep, so make it safer. So I made it artistic and put it in a poem. Y'all was like, you ain't been on Def Jam, so go home. So I made it simple, as can be in